the songs that were just sung, and I was thinking the greatest thing that you can know is that your sins are forgiven. Regardless of the trials and the difficulty you're in, if you know that. And as we get to a point where we pray for a few things and some requests that have been given to us, to also know that God hears us. Think about the significance of knowing our sins are forgiven, number one, and then secondly, knowing that whatever is going on in our lives, when we speak to Him, His ear is inclined to us, He thinks of us, and He hears us. And so let's pray for the requests that we have this morning. By the way, if you would like to add a prayer request for the Sunday morning service, there's a website that you can do that, or you can put it on a comment card and put it in the back, and we take those, pray for them on Thursdays and also during the service. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that at this moment, as followers of Yours, we can know that our sins are forgiven, and as we come to You and pray, that You hear us. We're so grateful for Your deep, affectionate love towards us, that not only do You know us, You hear us and we ask. And so the requests that we ask this morning are heavy on our hearts, and we ask You to help. First of all, Lord, we want to ask for our brother Fred, who has lung cancer. He's in a hospital downtown, very close to the hospital. And we just pray, Lord, that You work in his life in a mighty way to give him a great sense of Your presence with him, reveal Yourself to him, and Lord, help him and help the doctors figure out the problem quickly and alleviate the concerns that he has and his family has. Father, we pray for Heather Hansen's father, Art, his family. We ask that You encourage them during this time. We know that he passed away, and we ask that You would strengthen them, give them peace, give them grace, and lift them up, and also a great sense of Your presence in their lives. For Sally's friend, Sheila, just found out she has cancer in her jaw and also recently lost her husband in the dark time that she may be going through right now, and the difficulty that You would encourage her, bring people in her lives to lift her up and strengthen her during this time. And Father, as we continue this service to be together, to listen to Your word and to sing, we ask that You use it to strengthen us, to help us grow in the grace and knowledge of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray this in Your name, amen. I just want to give a quick introduction to our speaker this morning, Cameron. Many of you know him. He's been around here for a while with me, and we came about the same time. I met Cameron maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and we didn't see each other for about 2 years. And the last 2 years, about 2 years ago, he came to me, and he said, I want to learn more about ministry. I want to learn to be a better pastor. I want to learn from You. Would You teach me? And so 2 years ago, we started a discipleship relationship, and I've been able to do that a number of years in our ministry here and other places, and it's been a great blessing to get to know him, to hear his heart, and to see him grow in that way. And so, Cameron, give us the word today.
Hello. Good morning. Hello. Yes. Thank you for the short introduction, because I have a long introduction as well. First of all, I would like to thank the Lord and the church committee for this opportunity to share what God has done in my life, and it's really great to be here. And on behalf of all Pakistani refugees, I'm really grateful and thankful for the church, those who love and care us, not only physically but spiritually as well. So thank you for your care and love. Most of you know me, my name, but for those who are new here, my name is Kamran, and I'm from Pakistan. And Pakistan is a Muslim country. 95% of total population is Muslim, and rest of 5% are different minorities, but we Christians are 1.3%. And since my childhood, I faced discrimination. When I was in school, as a Christian, I was not allowed to drink water in the same glass which was lying with the water cooler. For Christian, they have to bring their own glass. Otherwise, there was a dirty glass in a dirty place for the Christians. If you drink in the glass, which is for Muslim students, you have to be answerable for that, and you must have to be punished. Even for professional lives, we face discrimination. And even we were not allowed to drink or have food in a restaurant. I still remember I was about 9-10 years old, and I was so hungry that time. I go out and I saw a food court on the road, and he was selling samosas. And I ordered, I said, give me one plate. And he gave me, while I was eating that samosas, someone came to the, and he said something to the owner of the food court, and immediately he reacted. He shouted on me. He said, "You are Christian?" They didn't call me Christian. Christians are called Isai or Chuda. They use this term Isai or Chuda, which is very dirty names, and this is called for the person, those who cleans, those who are street cleaners, who cleans toilet, who cleans dirt. He said, "You are Isai, you are Christian, why don't you tell me before?" He took my plate and break it, and after that, he said, "You have to pay for glass and plate." I said, "Sorry, I don't have money." After that, he beaten me, and he said, "If you cannot pay, I will beat you more." And he did that. And it's true, we face discrimination in professional life. Since childhood, we face these all things. But since blasphemy laws is made in Pakistan in 1986, I think, because of this law, many Pakistani Christians are flee from Pakistan. And I'm one of them. It's really hard to talk about the situation we faced in Pakistan. So, I'm youngest among my siblings. We are five. And I'm here with my wife. I don't know where is she. I think back there. She's sitting back there. So my wife and my son, he's going to turn to five in next month. And my daughter, she was born here in Thailand. She's 3 years old. And my brother and his family, we are here. And as I told you, I'm youngest among my siblings, and I was used to go to church with my siblings, that which was so far. And I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior when I was about 15 years old. And my sister, she's the first in my family who got saved and who accept Jesus Christ. And God gave her a children ministry in our area. And she started children ministry, Sunday school, in a small room in our area. But later, God gave us a wide vision. So we built a small chapel there. While building that chapel, we faced many problems from the Muslims because the chapel is among the Muslim people. We are just 4 or 5 Christian families there in the street, and rest of all are Muslims. And when we build that church, many times Muslim people, while we are worshiping, they came and knocked the door many times. And many times they don't knock the door and they shout, come inside, and they shout, this is our prayer time, this is azan time, why you are playing music, why you are worshiping so louder? Stop music and pray quietly if you want. And we did that, and we try to do whatever they want, but we shouldn't. But we try to have peace among them, but we couldn't. So when we built church, we faced many troubles there. But when church was there, and elders, they came to me and they said, there are 3 other nominations, but we want you to be a pastor. I said, no, I think this is a big responsibility for me, so I can't handle it. So better if you give them chance, those who are willing to have this opportunity. They said, but we want you to be a leader as a pastor. I denied. I said, no, I can't. Later, on Sunday service, they said, okay, we want you to be have pastor, but you're not willing. But there is another way we elders have planned to do that. I said, what? They said, we want to have what you call that, cast loss. They said, if after casting that, if your name is there, you are willing to do that. I said, okay. While I was praying that, God reveal your will directly to me, not through, though this is a way, elders, they are men of God, this is a way to know his will, but I want something direct from you. And when they said, we'll cast a lot, you are okay with that? I said, yes, that's fine. But I was expecting something else. When they cast a lot, my name comes out. And I was in tears that moment. It was really, I can't explain that moment, but there was answer of my prayers. Then I surrendered myself and I said, okay, now I will do my best. I'm willing to have this responsibility. Later in 2005, I went for Bible college for 3 years. And I tried to do my best for his glory. But I want to share, we all Pakistani and refugees have different stories, different experience, but I want to share this experience with you this morning. Why I came here in Thailand, why I flee from Pakistan. One of my sister's Muslim friend, They were friends since their school time or college time. And they were good to each other regardless their religion or even our families were involved in their friendship, and we have good family terms as well. But her Muslim girl's uncle, he don't like this friendship. Once he came to my door and he shouted there and he said, it's better if you stop your daughter to come to our place, otherwise you'll be responsible for the results. I said, okay, please come inside, we'll talk, whatever is your problem, we'll try to resolve that. And he said, no, I don't want to come to your house, but I want to stop this friendship. Next day, the Muslim friend, she came to our place, and I explained to her what had happened yesterday. And she said, she smiled and she laughed and she said, oh brother, don't worry. My uncle, he is like this. He don't like Christians. That's why he's saying this. And he don't like this friendship even. And I said, he's your uncle. So better we stop this friendship. She said, no brother, no problem. Me and my family, we are okay with you. We love you, and that's fine. I don't bother my uncle. But later, about 6-7 months later, the Muslim girl, she called me and she said, brother, I need your help. I said, okay, I'll be happy to help you if I could. She said, my cousin, she's not feeling well and she's sick and I want you to pray for her. I said, sure, I will pray for her. While talking on telephone, I come to know the sick girl is daughter of that uncle who came to our place and who shout there, who don't like have friendship with Christians or who hate Christians. So there was a big question for me. I thought, if he don't like Christian, why they are inviting me to pray for her sick daughter? And I said, better if you bring her to the church, we'll pray together. She said, she's not capable to bring her to the church, she's so sick, so better if you come here and pray for her, we'll be happy for this help. I said, okay, I will let you know later. I talked to my wife, I said, she called me and I'd explain what she wanted me to do. And she encouraged me and she said, I think God has changed their mind, that's why they want you to help them. And as a servant of God, as a man of God, we should help them. And she encouraged me to pray for them. I went there. They offered me tea or cold drink. I said, no, thank you. I'll just pray. Where is the sick girl? I want to see her and I want to pray for her. They took me to the next room and she was sitting there. And I noticed she is not as sick as I was told by telephone. So I just read a few verses from the Bible and I prayed for her. And there was a guy, a teenage guy, who took picture while praying and reading some verses. And I just noticed that, but I didn't bother. I thought this is a common deed nowadays. Everyone wanna have a record or something like. So I just finished my prayer and came back to my place. And And next day I went out of town, and around 1 or 2, my wife, she called me. I was out of town, but she called me and she was crying. And she was unable to talk with me. And I asked, what happened? Why you are crying? So I tried to quiet her, and she said, I have found a letter in our door. So I said, so what? I thought someone said something to her, that's why she's crying, and that's why she's upset. So she said, that letter is not ordinary letter, that is something serious. I said, what is that? Could you read it for me? And she read that letter for me. And that was after, when I heard that letter, I was really, it was shocking for me. I was really upset too. And that letter was a death declaration against me. And that was in Urdu, but I will try to translate that. That was, it was written there, dear brothers, once again, a kafir, Muslim people call kafir to the Christian. Kafir mean non-Muslims. And they said, it was written there, once again, a kafir challenge our religion, our belief. And Pastor Kamran, he's trying to convert our ladies while in the absence of their men at home. And he tore the pages of Quran, and whosoever see him, kill him. And if you will not do that, you are not beloved of Muhammad. From that uncle's name was there, and I was really shocked. And my wife, she advised me to don't back to home, and she said, go my mother's house, I'll see you there. And later she came there, and I saw that letter. It was really shocking for me and my wife. And my brother, he came there, and it was really shocking for all my family. And this is the reason I flee from Pakistan in 2013. And we know the consequences of this kind of letter. We read in the news, we know, because couple of years back, there was a couple and wife, she was pregnant of 7 months, and they burned alive there in Pakistan because of this blasphemy. And my wife, it was not easy for her when we traveled from Pakistan. She was 36 weeks of pregnant, and it was really hard time for my wife especially. So when I came here in Thailand in 2013, I went to visit some Pakistani families in immigration detention center. And I met a prison team there. Later, after introduction, they offered me to serve the Lord with them. And for 2 years, I served with them in Bangkok and out of Bangkok. So once I met Susan from this church. She's not anymore here. She's back to States now. In Lario prison, women prison, I met her around 2 years ago. I met her in prison, and she invited me to come and visit our church. I said, okay, I will try to come to visit your church. She gave me church brochure, and she gave me her contact number, but I lost that brochure somewhere at my place. And later, about 1 year, I found that brochure, and I contact her. And she said, Pastor, I'll be happy if you come and visit our church. So I plan to come to church around last year in August. So I'm really happy and blessed to be a part of CCC. So this is a link how I came to this church. And many times people ask this question, why do believers have troubles? Why do believers have trouble? When non-believers have trouble or sickness in their lives, that makes sense. They are facing trouble because of their sin. But why pain and grief for a believer, for a Christian? We'll see the answer of this question this morning in the light of Bible. In fact, we'll see the benefits of suffering, benefits of troubles in a Christian life. So the benefit number one, it gives glory to God. Benefit number one, it gives glory to God. If you have Bible, you can open John chapter 9, verse 2 and 3. And his disciple asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parent, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parent, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. His disciple, they know this blindness is because of sin. But they were not confirmed who sinned, this man or his parents. That's why they asked Jesus Christ, their master, who sinned, this man or his parents? Many times we behave like disciples. When we see someone in sickness or in trouble, we think same like disciple. He did something wrong. That's why he's facing this trouble. But Jesus Christ, he answered them. He said, neither this man nor his parents sin. This is for God's work might be displayed. That's why it happened. And disciples, they were amazed after receiving this answer from Jesus Christ. Many times we see circumstances or people with our own glasses. We judge people like disciples. When we study John chapter 11, there is another story about Lazarus. When he was sick, his sister sent message to Jesus Christ. And what they said, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God might be glorified through it. These two stories are different, but one of the learning points is the same in these two chapters, in these two stories, that our problems, our troubles can glorify to God. Maybe I don't know what you are going through in your life, all of us have troubles, problems, but I want to encourage you this morning that your problems, your sickness, your troubles can glorify to God. Let's see the benefit number two. Benefit number two is to learn obedience. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, it says, although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. Although he was a son, and he has all authority of heaven and earth, but he suffered. Not only suffered, he learned obedience what he suffered. One of my teachers in Pakistan, I like him very much, and he gave me an autograph that was no pain, no gain. It's true. The moment I received this autograph, I couldn't understand for many years, but I can understand it now. It's true. Bible says, in other words, I can say, no pain, no obedience. What we read in Hebrew, though he have all authority, he's son of God. He can do whatever he want, wherever he want, and he did. He showed wonders, and he showed his authority. But he learned obedience through suffering. When we read Philippians chapter 2:8, it says, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. What a beautiful example we have. He always fulfills his Father's will. He obeyed his Heavenly Father and he surrendered himself. Even he learned obedience through suffering, he gave himself, he accepted death on the cross. For this is a part of believer's life, a Christian's life. This is for his training and learning. Hebrews chapter 12:7 says that it is for discipline that you have to endure. God is strengthening you as son. God is treating you as son. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? We all are disciplined by our parents, by our father. And even we are disciplining our kids too. Many times I spank my son and I scold him many times. Why? Why have we scold or spank our kids? Do we hate them? No, not at all. We love them. This is for discipline. That's why we want them to be on right track. That's why we spank them or scold them. And Bible is saying the same way as we are treating our kids, God is dealing with us as a son. God is dealing with us as a son, not like a slave, not like Gentiles. He's treating us like son. And he won't train us as we won't train our kids. So no pain, no obedience. Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. So let's go ahead and see the benefit number three. 3. Sorry. Thank you. Benefit number 3, to keep us humble. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, a thorn was given in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Sometimes we are proud of our knowledge, our wisdom. Many times our jobs, our position, our status. But when we have a look at Paul's life, which is mentioned in New Testament, and he suffered a lot. He has hardship in his life even more than Jesus Christ. And he wrote a big portion of New Testament. But he is saying here, a thorn was given me in my body, in my flesh. What was the reason for that? He's explaining him, which remind him that he is a human, he is not perfect, which keeps him humble. And even in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, he said there, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the third benefit of troubles of a believer's life. When we have troubles, it keeps us humble and remind us that we are not perfect. So let's go ahead to the benefit number 4. To strengthen our faith. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor that the revelation of Jesus Christ. When a believer got in trouble, he comes to know that there is no other name, there is no other one who can understand him except God. Who understand his situation, there is only God who can understand better way. Who can understand whole situation of our life. In fact, God refined us as jeweler purified gold through fire. So the same way God pure and strengthen our faith. My wife, she is an oncology nurse and has 10-year experience as an oncology nurse in Pakistan in well-known hospital, that is international hospital, cancer hospital. And she was getting handsome salary there. And we had good life in Pakistan. Life was so good and it was really blessing there. But now here we start our life from zero. And every day we see his faithfulness to our family. Me and my wife, we are not though he's skillful, but he's not doing job here in Thailand. But God, he's providing all our needs amazingly. We learn and he strengthens our faith day by day and step by step. And he reveals his purpose. So go ahead to benefit number 5. To comfort us in afflictions. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 1 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and God of all comfort, who comfort us in all your afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. What a God we serve. What a God we worship. God of all comfort. God comfort believer. There is a reason behind. Verse 4, there is a responsibility for a church, for a Christian, for a believer. When believer receive comfort from God, what he has to do so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any afflictions. This is like baton race. We have received a baton of comfort and we have to pass through that baton to those who are in afflictions, those who are in troubles. Remember, my dear brothers and sisters, God can use our worst pain as a bridge to minister to others. Amen? Yes. So, this is not the last, but for me, for my message, this is the last one. To keep us close to God. The benefit number 6, what is that? To keep us close to God. Whenever I'll look my past, I look my life, I really give thanks to Lord for troubles, for problems I have in my life, because I feel his closeness. His hand in my life, his presence in my life, even more than in Pakistan, here in Thailand. Because I spend more time in prayer with God. I spend more time to read his word. This is truth. When we have troubles, when we have pain in our life, we are more close to God. We spend more time in prayer and reading his word. Even when I look David's life, when his son was sick, what he did? He sat on floor. He wear sackcloth. He fasted. He didn't do it before. But when he has pain because of his son, his sickness, that keeps him more close to God. And it's true, when we have pain, we are more close to God. When we are happy, we don't care of God. When we are in pain, we spend time with God. And I think this is, though these all six benefits are for a believer, but I want to share with you a biggest benefit, which is in Romans 8:18. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed. Praise God. When church is suffering, when believers have trouble in his life, Paul is trying to strengthen churches. By saying this, the present suffering, present troubles and problems are not worthy to compare with the glory of God. And more, he explained that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. I think this is a biggest benefit for a believer when he suffered. What a beautiful comparison we can see here. Four opposite words: light, momentary, weight, and eternal. Our sufferings are preparing something for church, for believer. That is glory of God, which is beyond any comparison. I want to show you something I brought to show you. What is life of these bubbles? I think momentary. Paul is trying to explain here, our afflictions, our troubles are like these bubbles, which are momentary and temporary. There is short duration of afflictions in a believer's life. And that afflictions are preparing something, doing something for church, for a believer, which is everlasting, which is eternal, and that is glory of God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this morning you gave us. And thank you, believers have bright future. Though church and Christians are suffering on earth, but we have hope. We have bright future. Your words is assurance that believers have bright future and secure future. Thank you for this blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.